have an honest conversation about hip hop. E-Skills on production. What up, hip hop old head? King OG. Park Boys in the building. And you know who I be. It's Son Capone. 2017, and we chiseled up the sculpture. The artists making money, but we do it for the culture. Sipping on mimosas, whipping testosterones. A bunch of young men whose dreams is getting closer. Feel my pain, hear the struggle through my chromosomes. Always shift and see the changes on the totem pole. Got them all, yet today got the scrotum blowed. From the coldest flow, the summer sounded so and so. And if they drop rhymes, tell me who your top five. Is it the newer cats pushing from computer jacks? Spit the newer raps and killing on the viewer stats. It's perceived with they performing on the streaming stage. We used to need the aid, now we used to be in pain. And all the streets are paved, boards you want to keep away. And all alliances and regions that divided us. Let's have a conversation, break away the biases. Let's break away the biases. Gotta break away the biases.
Welcome to another episode of An Honest Conversation About Hip Hop.
Yo, what's up? This is Familiar, Dead Broke Entertainment, all the way from San Pedro, California. Gotta let you know, man, one of my favorite MCs, if not the favorite MC, it's gotta be Marshall Mathers, baby, Eminem, that's Slim Shady. One love, everybody.
What's good? This is Matt. I'm in the city of La Habra. Favorite MC, gotta be one of the
talking to the phone. I can't hear you. What was that? What was that?
What's good, family? Welcome to another episode of An Honest Conversation About Hip Hop. I'm your host, moderator D. Moraney, and as always, tonight I have with me my man to the right.
Big Pooh.
Some bootlegs and B-sides. What's good with you, man?
You know, same old soup, just reheated.
Right. Ready to get into it?
Trying to do this shit.
I think it's going to be an interesting one. And as always, the baby mama swooper.
It's your boy, Abari Cooper, a.k.a. Son Capone, the greatest rapper never known.
What you
family? Oh, man, chilling. Ready to go over the agenda.
Get into some business. And rolling one up as we speak, the one and only.
King OG in the building.
What's good with you, man?
You already know. Maintain it, man.
All right. Well, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening, whether you're on Audio Boom or whether you're on iTunes, whether you're on Google Play, Spotify, wherever you can find us. Big ups, and thank you for listening. Shout out to everybody over at the Digital Soapbox Network. Tonight, whenever you're listening to this, we are here to discuss some beefs that are, you know, currently going on in the industry. And the perception of beef. So everybody's well aware that Drake and Pusha T, didn't really have a back and forth because only Push really said something. But both of these gentlemen sat down and were interviewed by LeBron and Maverick Carter, their new series called The Shop. And then Push went over to sit down with Joe Budden and then they discussed some things. So we've seen both interviews, and we're going to go ahead and kind of take a deep dive into that. But before we get into that, rap beef. I'm going to start with you, Son. How do you feel about the newer folks saying, "Hey, there are some sort of rules within rap beef"?
Yeah. This ain't Candyland. There's no fucking rules, you know. There's no rules whatsoever. You gunning for somebody's head. You just understand that if you beefing with anybody, you better be with the shits, you know, because it's, if it's disrespectful, I mean, that's what the diss is. It's disrespect. So if you're not about that life, then continue making pop songs.
So in your opinion, there is no line that you can't cross in a rap beef?
Not crossing, no. I mean, it if you're beefing with somebody, if somebody pressed it too far, I mean, it as an artist or an MC, I mean, you either take it on wax or you take it out on the streets. You know, there's two outcomes, you know. And that's just all based on the individual, you know, opinion.
These pussy niggas are fucked up MC.
No, of course.
Because if somebody take it there, then you just take it there. It ain't even got to get physical. They killing the sport of real MC, and where we really got real, real battles where niggas went at each other's throat, and they watering it down to, like, some industry version of what we used to do. These niggas are guests in our house of hip hop when it comes to this shit. So they, just because they sell records and got chokers with diamonds on and all this shit, and these Instagram bitches with these whopped ass sideways booties giving them game and giving them love and all that, that don't mean they can come in and rewrite history in the game. They gotta abide by it just like everybody else. That's bullshit.
Yeah, no making no move, no rules as you go along and shit. Yeah. This ain't Fortnite, motherfucker.
You can't punch me in the nose, or you can't kick me while I'm down. No.
Hip hop thing got soft.
Exactly. These corny, like, they too emotional.
It's like, when do pussies make rules?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, shit.
Like, straight up, like in any other.
At Victoria's Secret, that's it.
When does a pussy's fucking opinion matter? You know I remember being in seventh grade and a nigga said, "Easy dick smell like MC Ren shit." It don't get no more disrespectful than that. You feel me? Like, you said, so this nigga Drake, man, just how he gonna set the tone of what beef is? Like, I'm gonna say this. I don't know who I hate more, Drake or Kobe.
Wow.
So,
it's not in the same boat.
So, if you like Drake and Kobe, my nigga, right. Fuck you and the hole you came out of.
Hey, that's why you my brother.
Fuck you and the hole that you came out.
Shots. Yeah, man.
So the consensus in the room, no rules and beef, because we've heard it all. Like, yeah. You said, MC Brands.
Nigga Pop talked about fucking, you want to talk about 40 and talking about him going at it, wishing death. Nobody wished death, you bitch ass nigga. This is hip hop. Nigga Pop talked about Prodigy's motherfucking sickle cell, nigga.
Right.
Was anybody fucking crying then? They came back and made a record. That's what you do, rap.
And wait, so was it Jeezy who killed Gucci's homeboy?
Oh, that was the coldest shit. Yeah.
Gucci killed Jeezy's homeboy and made a record about it.
And then performed it.
And then performed it in his hometown.
Two times, three times in a row in his hometown. So what the fuck?
That is probably one of the most disrespectful shits ever done in hip-hop.
Yeah.
So
that nigga said, "I bet you can't dig your dead homeboy up. Get the fuck out of here."
He the one that did the dirt.
And beat the case.
So Drake, in this interview, said, I study rap beef for a living. So, obviously, there's some courses that he has not taken. He hasn't completed yet. He's completely out of the loop with some of this.
He's a semester short of rap etiquette and shit.
They just showing the real world that they not hardcore hip-hop niggas. They just rappers. They don't come from the culture. They just rappers. They just real good rappers, not MCs, and they showing that they not MCs by the shit that they say.
Not, and I agree with you in regards, definitely in regards to that. So now let's talk about a few things that happened within the interview. One, the first thing that stood out to me was the level of anger that Drake had associated with the shot that Pusha T took at 40. He said himself, "Wasn't mad that you exposed that I had a child. Wasn't mad that you had talked about my parents. I was mad that you talked about my sick friend. So much to the point where I wanted to punch you in the face." So I'm gonna go around the room and ask if that is believable or not. So,
nigga, okay, I don't mean to jump off the top. Chino said something, it's about to get bloodier than Anita Baker's miscarriage.
Yeah, damn.
Come on now. Back in the days, niggas spit some disrespectful ass shit, nigga. Like,
and that's part of the culture. Hip hop is a very disrespectful art form. Whether you're a female, whether you're an opposing MC, you know, that's what it's rooted in. It's rooted in talking shit. And so, I mean, it's real out here. But let me just ask you, King OG, do you believe that Drake was ready to physically harm a Push?
Fuck no. Are you crazy?
And hey. Sign, what about you? You think that...
If pillow fights were allowed, that's about it. But Drake's not the tough guy, and that, I mean, his, you know what I mean, that's where he's exposed, you know what I mean? He's not ready for this shit.
Right. Pooh, what do you say?
Drake got slapped by Puffy bitch ass, right?
He got slapped and then
pissed on, right?
Something that somebody pissed on Drake.
Man, I remember this nigga tearing his ACL like he was motherfucking. What's that little cha-cha nigga that was on the Giants? That nigga was
Victor Cruz. You know,
get that patella tendon nigga the fuck up out of here.
That nigga Drake hit the floor like Nancy Kerrigan, nigga. What's the bitch that got hit with the crowbar, nigga? Man, this nigga's just a bitch, man. He act like a woman. Nigga, I got in the car. One of the cars this nigga got, and I'm driving it. It's the Drake CD. I never listened to this gay ass Scorpion CD before.
Right, right.
Nigga, this nigga said some shit. I hope my child has your eyes, nigga. Some shit like, I said, that's some shit that a bitch say to a nigga with wavy hair and a ponytail. Nigga, I took that shit and threw that shit out on the freeway.
My
nigga.
Baby's gonna
nigga,
be
I stoned that motherfucker, man. I was done.
That nigga sound like Ice T, baby. Mama.
Oh, shit.
Coco
Loco.
That shit, the first one, Darlene. That nigga sound like Darlene.
Damn.
I want my baby to have you.
No, this shit.
Whole ass Section 8 baby mama shit is that?
I see, in my opinion, I can go a little bit deeper. I just feel like when it comes to hip hop, niggas was being straight buffoons for years and years out of the projects or out of the streets of L.A. or whatever, to where a real street gutter nigga is not at the forefront no more. So
right.
Popularity makes the rules now. Yeah, so right. We kind of, the rule book is out.
And I think that's a culture in the nutshell. Not so much you having to be from the street, but you having to be directly connected to the culture. That's why the culture has changed so much, because we've allowed outside influence to come and dictate how hip-hop operates. I think that final frontier that had yet to be changed was beef, because that was something that the real
URL is not real battle rap, Drake. Or get the fuck out of here, nigga.
As Drake was saying in the interview, what did he say, that purists or whatever, you know, oh, I don't have to, the purists,
they making
have to
it
like
seem
me.
As if this organized battle rap with no beat shit is the origin of battle rap. That's not real battle rap. You need to go back to school, buddy.
His soft ass voice shouldn't matter, my nigga. Like, that nigga Drake is equivalent to Clay Matthews getting the fucking flag for sucking the quarterback and landing on him. That's what hip hop has turned into. Like, these niggas,
niggas
is pillow fighting now.
He don't even sound believable when he try to say this tough guy shit. That's why I don't get it. I don't hate him as a person. He make good records for what he do, but I hate when they try to stick him in the hardcore hip hop category. That nigga's like a rapping pop star.
Look, I want y'all niggas to pay attention to something that y'all probably would never see it because you don't watch the Drake show. This nigga perform on his tippy toes. What kind of bitch ass tiptoeing tippy toe ass nigga is that? I don't know. This nigga like he got on jump soles from the '90s.
He getting that PCL tightened
what kind
up.
Of bitch
That's
ass
what
nigga
he
walk around without his heels hitting the ground. Get your twinkle toes ass the fuck out of here.
He trying to dunk before junior year.
Oh shit.
That nigga trying to get his birth together.
Hey, didn't Eric have the jump soles for a minute?
Hey, I tried to get my 40 tied down, you feel me? But
did it work though?
If I would have stuck with it,
okay.
You know, I would. My nutrition at home wasn't up to par. So
nigga was malnourished.
Damn, PM burgers and shit like that ain't gonna do it, my nigga. I was looking forward to them coffee cakes and hot chocolate in the morning. With the skim on top of the chocolate, the coffee, what you call that shit? The hot chocolate with the skim on top.
So, speaking of home cooking, how did you feel in the LeBron, or in the Shop shit, I don't want to say LeBron interview, but the Shop episode with Maverick and LeBron, it was almost as if Drake was, like LeBron was the big homie to Drake. It just came off very, very weird to me. I mean, am I the only one that feels that way, or you agree?
I agree, because it's like I said before, it's like the bigger celebrity is has the higher edge nowadays. Like, LeBron ain't even hip-hop, but since he's a bigger star.
Yeah, according to him, he's a hip-hop historian.
I give him that, because that nigga listens to underground, West Coast, Bay Area music, so I can give him some of that.
Shit, like, how the fuck? LeBron listened to Brother
Lex. But I seen that nigga dancing on stage with Drake, looking like an overgrown Tyler Creator with a fucking a sweater tied around his waist with a fucking hat on backwards. Looking like Carlton and Jazz from Fresh Prince mixed all together in one.
Carlton and Jazz.
Hey, that nigga had that nigga had that baby ass Laker outfit on, looking like one of the Monstars and shit.
I don't know, my nigga.
Not all too much, man.
It just, I don't know.
You know what? Why do the interview now? Like, I understand you probably recorded this. Maybe it took a while to get it out. Maybe they didn't want to drop it as soon as possible, but I mean, in my opinion, is it better just kind of let sleeping dogs lie? Because
to the mainstream, emotional. He's a bitch ass nigga.
But to the mainstream, it appeared that Drake won, right? Pusher had to cancel tour dates because cats wasn't coming out to buy tickets. You know, Drake did whatever Drake did record wise. I forget how many albums he sold or whatever. He's the most streamed artist ever.
He's a fucking pop star. Right. How do you compare a pop star with a nigga that just rapped to his core fan base and don't reach for nothing else? This nigga even said in the interview we sat here and watched, said, "I don't make singles." How many niggas sit there and admit that? Like, nigga, I don't make singles. I make music, but I don't make singles. As far as like a marketing single, he like, I don't make singles.
What was that, Push?
Yeah, of course.
Like, what Push is not an artist?
So how do you compare? When it comes to battling, we're not battling on numbers and charts and Billboard, all that industry shit goes out the window. It's just
right. You and I
rapper,
believe that, but to the masses, and that's the question. I
that's
was
the
asking.
Problem. The that's masses. The problem. They taking a bit out of our hip hop culture and took it to this corporation
and
bullshit.
Nobody's disagreeing with you. So, the question I'm asking basically is, why does Drake do the interview in the eyes of everyone else, the people he cares about? He said in the interview, "I don't really care what the purists like you and I have to say."
That's why Styles P said what he said. He needed to just go on and make records and leave this battle shit alone.
So why he's even excluded. Do the interview if you feel like I've won this?
I think
because he in his heart he know he didn't win.
He didn't
you
win.
Know what I mean? And it's
he
it it's
it,
this
hell.
Interview. This interview is directly because of his insecurities,
and
the world don't want answers because nobody's pressed him for this shit. Nobody.
The funny shit about it is
he's got
to get shit he did to me. He's sitting there bitching about. He name dropped Nicki, the world tour, your girl tour, all that type
of
shit.
Right.
He went in on niggas when he's on the upper hand. All the shit is cool.
Right.
When he's on a losing end for a change, then there's a problem with it then.
Right.
And he just even, I don't like that nigga.
I don't
like nothing about that nigga.
He is definitely emotional.
I'm not taking nothing away from his music, his fan base, none of that. I'm not a hater. But me personally, I just do not like that nigga. I don't like the way he talk. I don't like the way he don't even come across as a hip hop nigga.
Right.
You ain't gotta be like.
You don't even like him at all. DMX said, "What? I don't even like his face."
Yeah.
Man, the only proper talking nigga, rapping nigga that I fuck with is Wiz Khalifa. That's the only nigga in my book that I can get.
That shit kill me.
That's the only nigga that
Wiz Khalifa.
I got over that, and that he being himself. I can respect that. But this nigga Drake got with Wayne, got to talking about street shit and sending niggas to touch niggas up
the
and all.
Nigga.
I'm an MC, so I hear everything. Every little line, nigga, I hear when he talking about first name ever, last name, greatest. Okay,
right.
So how do you consider yourself the greatest, nigga, and then, nigga, do some pop star shit and don't abide by the rules, and you got a ghostwriter.
Right.
So how do you be in the pop lane, the R&B lane, the crossover lane, the hip-hop lane, and the street nigga lane all in one, nigga, but then we just bend the rules for you because... You in all these different lanes. You a different type of artist.
Right.
Go be an artist and leave this hip-hop shit alone then.
Right.
Stop trying to battle and talk about you the best and all this. Stop contending.
So you agree with me? He should never, ever done the interview. He should just left it alone and continue to make pop records and be all right.
Really, he's just showing that. He's showing that's his insecurity. Every real nigga that dusted him already know to go at that. He's emotional. When you say shit that get to him, that shit stick in his brain. And when you let niggas know that, that's your weakness, and that's why he's taking the L's right now.
I got a question for you.
Yeah,
because I'm not educated on it. Was that the first episode of LeBron and them shit?
I think so.
Yeah, it might be. It was either one or two.
I think so.
Okay, so I'm gonna answer this as if it was number one. I think it seemed like he took the interview because that was like a great opening for LeBron's vehicle, so to speak. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
No, I agree with you. It showed LeBron definitely in a power position where other artists are texting him, or other just superstars are texting him for approval. I don't want to let you down, is what Drake told LeBron. And LeBron looked at him like the proud father and said, no, you're not going to let me down. You need to go ahead and do this for the culture.
He killed himself in the whole hip-hop MC conversation when he didn't respond. He already had the Ghost Rider strike. But when he didn't respond, that's like a street nigga taking an L and not doing nothing about it. Your whole credibility is shot.
Right, because it killed Meek for taking 5 days to respond. He made a song. Mm-hmm. Waited 5 days. Where y'all at, right? We kill everybody else who doesn't respond. But then when it came to Drake, the narrative was like, well, he doesn't need to respond because he's too big. And to go back to one of the original questions, is that the new generation who is now allowing that to go ahead and basically
they don't know the culture. Mm-hmm. Only culture, they think that Murder Mook and all them niggas started battle rap.
That shit is trash. The whole culture is trash. It's like hip-hop can turn into No Child Is Left Behind. This shit is some bullshit. Like, every kid get a participation trophy type shit. Like, nigga, there's a winner and there's a fucking loser.
Right.
They made their own hybrid of our shit.
Niggas done bent the rules. This shit ain't, look, to put it simple, this shit ain't ours no more. That's basically what it boils down to. This shit ain't ours. It's like, this shit is nice and polite, and if a nigga go too hard, he gonna get blackballed because these pussy ass niggas gonna play dirty with it. And it could be a nigga that you like, it could be a street nigga who's rapping. But if a nigga get too under his skin, he gonna play the power card and blackball a nigga from getting his. And it's just, this hip hop is just garbage.
Well, that's what Freddie Gibbs said, right? Freddie Gibbs recently said there's like three people in hip hop you can't diss: Eminem, Jay-Z, and I forget who that third person was. Those were the people that were just on the, you should not say things about.
See what happened to Joe Budden and Game and all the other niggas that mentioned them niggas' name.
Right.
Niggas struggled in their career when they was really putting out quality music because of that industry booty hole boy shit, man. They got the whole coalition going. All these old like weird old super metrosexual ass rappers, man, they coming from under the umbrella of these weird dudes that's trying to take hip hop to a corporate level where numbers and industry shit overrides what the culture say. What the culture goes for don't mean shit no more. It's all about what brings in that
brand. And it hasn't for a while. So let me ask you this. In the Push interview, Push basically said, hey, Kanye didn't give me the information. 40 did. Now I'm going to ask everybody first, do they believe that? I'll start with you, Pooh. Do you believe that his homeboy was pillow talking?
I believe. I got to believe it. I'm not going to say the man is lying because I don't know none of them little pussy ass niggas. But I'm going to say... I'm going to say he got it from Drake's homie because he told the truth, so to speak, about everything else. So why would he bend the truth on that?
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean? So I believe it. You know, it's crazy. I was sitting there listening to the interview and, you know, not to get off subject, but I heard Joe ask Push, like, do you rate yourself among the all-time greats? And this is a totally different subject.
Right.
And I brought it up to myself, like, if I really had to think about it, that nigga don't even come close to the top 20. But that's just my opinion. Like, I know everybody got to feel like they're the greatest, but Pusha T, for real? Right. Like,
there's a lot of MCs that you put before, in my opinion, that you put before
Pusha T. They said
that
he was the best artist on Good over there dick riding and shit. I didn't like control. They said that, like, he is not the best MC on Good music. Sci-Hi is
superior. Sci-Hi, I get it.
Sci-Hi is superior.
But I'll give it to Pusha to make better records and better albums.
Right.
But Sci-Hi is the best MC over there by far.
But if they said best artist, then that makes sense.
No, he said best rapper.
Rapper? Well, because Joe's beefing with Sci-Hi, so he's not going to give Sci-Hi the props because they got their little silly feud going down where they're supposed
they
to
be giving Sci-Hi props on there. Them niggas like it.
Well, no, they just dissed him a couple weeks ago. And so Joe said, hey, you don't have the money to go ahead and.
No, but the niggas, they say that shit and then on the same time be like, you know what? We all think Sci-Hi is a great ass rapper and we want him to come with some shit. It's just that by them saying the little things that they don't like, the things they do like, he latched on to the things that they were saying they don't like and then did that shit at Joe. But they always say, like, nigga, he's a
no, I'm aware of that. But then Joe said, basically, you don't have the money. Step to me and I'm going to go ahead and cook you. And then Sahai came back and was like, hey, I can get the money. And then
no, Joe he said, says, you don't have the money to lose.
And then Joe said,
neither do I.
Joe said, I have the money. I doubt that you have the money. That was the last that I heard of the story. Then they kind of let that die down. But back to the 40 shit. So is that something that can be repairable if 40 really said that?
Yeah.
Yeah, these guys are soft.
Look at 40. Look at Drake. These niggas didn't have no bitches before they were fucking millionaires, nigga. Come on.
I think Drake had some hoes when he was coming up acting.
He's on damn TV. Yeah, shit.
Nah, he wasn't getting no Instagram.
Instagram wasn't popping then. Yeah. But you imagine how these he was a MySpace maniac.
The fuck out of these dudes, man. Come on.
Well,
man.
He says himself.
Half the music that he be making be about some of these bitches. If he really was into his shit, like I know some of these songs he didn't put out is about fucking Instagram girls and strippers and shit.
Right.
Retiring
right.
Bitches, fucking jerseys, like they. Fucking Julius Erving or some shit.
The chicks in Houston, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one that Game and everybody else is smashing on too, nigga, and rapping about it. So I'm gonna say he's the only nigga that get away with doing sucker shit, goofy shit, and everybody just,
Blame Drake, but it's the era, you know what I mean? And he didn't grow up, you know what I mean? Like they didn't grow up like we did, bro. So their codes and their ethics and shit are way different than what the fuck we have now.
The hoodest of the hood niggas will argue you down about this goofy ass nigga. Well, cause since when do we condone this weak ass shit?
I mean, this could be controversial, but we could condone Pac's antics when he was running around fake gangbanging, and you have the same hoodest of the hood nigga that will argue you down. It goes back, I think, to what Pooh said.
At the same
popularity
time,
wins.
But at the same time, it wasn't.
I mean, that's real talk.
No,
right?
But it's not the same because
it's exactly the same.
No, it's not because it's not like Pac was a nigga that you could step to in the streets and he wasn't going to address you. He still was a street nigga, even though that Piru shit came way late, like Wayne and Baby them, the same type shit.
Right.
He still was a street dude. So he qualified to talk about what he was talking about.
Well, he wasn't a street dude.
He was from the streets. He always growing up, and
he lived in
Baltimore,
right? But that's
Oakland
lived in
California.
You're not street. You live.
No. What I'm saying, he broke in the hood, living in the ghetto. So, nigga, you in the element, you got to survive amongst the grimy motherfuckers. So, I'm not saying that he was the biggest thug ever, but he was from the culture.
So the difference is because Drake is from the suburbs, allegedly. I don't know where he grew up, but
he's not really from the culture.
He's not really
from
the streets.
And that's why niggas like me can't relate to that nigga and never will. Because it's like, we respect you as an artist. You good at what you do, but I can't get into it because I can't relate to you. You like a foreign. Drake is a guest in the house of hip-hop to me, nigga. Fuck it, Eminem.
Is that
Drake.
Is that because he's Canadian or is that
oh, shit.
He's an actor then turned rapper?
That's because he's somebody that came in, that outsider that dove into hip-hop at a late age and learned on his own. He wasn't involved in none of that shit. He wasn't going out in the Canadian hip-hop scene around, like, you got niggas like Swollen Members and niggas that Alchemist broke way, way back. Underground niggas.
Definitely.
So you can't tell me that Canada don't have a super, super hip-hop scene.
Yeah,
they still breakdancing out there, like in overseas and shit.
Right.
So it's not like he was a part. Nigga, he never did no graffiti. He never did no DJing. He never was a real battle rap MC.
But that's like 80% of the
culture.
No,
but
what
I'm saying,
what
he never
about.
Was a street nigga out busting or hustling or doing none of that shit. So, nigga, where do I relate to this nigga?
But so that's a lot of cats, though, that haven't done those things, but we still show them love in hip hop. I feel you. I feel that I'm siding with Pooh's point as far as the popularity has always dictated who wins these beefs. When you go back and you look at it.
No, but how did we even get to the point where they consider a nigga that's not even of the hip-hop culture being considered the greatest with a fucking ghostwriter?
Because you've had Wayne has had songs ghostwritten for him. Cats laud Wayne. Why? Because Wayne is popular. So, I mean,
but that's
it's
still
the offspring. I'll say this. It is the offspring of the whole.
But Wayne comes from the culture. Wayne grew up in hip hop,
and but we don't. Do we have evidence that Drake didn't? And I'm not siding with Drake. I mean, the nigga got a Pusher T microphone with a fucking with an autograph on
a fake
it.
Fake autograph.
Right.
Yeah.
So he, obviously he was a fanatic at some
yeah,
point.
Yeah, a fanatic, not a part of the culture. That's what I'm saying. This nigga was never a part of nothing.
But we don't know that. We don't know if he's made records before he made records. We don't know if he was.
I've been watching this fucking cornball since day one when he was doing MTV interviews with the old Acura that he used to drive. I watched that shit before they put it back on the internet. So I've been watching. I watched everybody, and he even told, like, nigga, he was into motherfucking the Clips, and somebody else was, like, his favorites, nigga, period. That goes to show you when he started jumping into the culture. When Clips was out, nigga, are you fucking serious? The Clips came out in the 2000s, nigga.
I think it's an age thing, because there's certain shit that we wouldn't say that these niggas are saying. Like, for instance, he said he studied battle rap, he studied that. My nigga, I've been a fan of hip-hop since as long as I can remember. And I ain't never studied shit. It was just in me.
Yeah, it was in you. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's definitely a difference. Like, right. Even when you hear niggas like The Game say, oh, I got shot. And he's my age, a month younger. This nigga said he was in the hospital, and then he listened to Illmatic, and he listened to all these classics, and then he wanted to become a rapper. Like, I didn't have to go back and fucking do that kind
of
shit.
That's because he was only a part of the street culture. He had to learn about the hip-hop culture. That's the same thing that I'm saying. Drake ain't never been a part of none of that shit.
But at the same time, it's like, I ain't a Drake defender either. I mean, as much as I don't like the nigga, I can't say that he ain't talented. It's just, I'm actually trying to give this nigga a little bit of, you know, I'm the Kobe hater, the Drake basher. But
I give Eminem that credit, because he comes from the culture. He really was around real rap shit.
But I mean, but the majority of the goddamn culture doesn't. I mean, as far as the cats that are on top right now, don't come from the culture, and that's why we got these fucking issues.
Battle before he had a record deal.
No, anybody under 30 or, you know, 30, 33. You know what I mean?
He didn't have that platform.
Yeah.
Hold on. Is Lil Duval number one song, is that considered hip hop or pop?
That's, to me, that's pop. Yeah. I mean, it's in the urban chart. That's where they throw it in urban. But he's singing. It's like they just did with Post Malone. They removed Post Malone from the hip hop list when it came to Grammys and put him on the pop side because
they need to put Drake ass over there too.
And I think eventually they will.
They need to put Drake, Travis Scott, Young Thug. A lot of these niggas, they
all of them. Shit, all of them.
Uzi, a lot of these cats, it's more harmony than it is actual rapping. Only thing that really make it hip hop is the format and the 808s of the shit, really, and the little rapping that they do on the shit. That's the only little trace of hip hop. That shit sounds like the hooks that I finally put my finger on it. These niggas is took over motherfucking K-Rock. They done took alternative K-Rock sounding from back in the white boy shit.
So like
the
Linkin Park shit.
No, the old school. The old school sound.
Like the 80s new wave type shit.
They've taken that type of vibe.
I haven't thought about it like that.
It's like a new wave. They're taking a new wave. Like,
your weed ain't strong.
It's like a new wave. You think about it. You think about the way they
sound. You're talking like the Depeche Mode shit? Like
nigga, the little Ray Strummer, whatever the fuck them niggas is, they making like trap rock alternative sounding song. It's like a rock song. It's not really like hip hop. You listen to their hooks nowadays.
Yeah.
They doing hooks like you would hear on an early '90s rock song. Like, it's not really hip hop. Like the vibe that they mostly all their hooks.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to take your word for it on that, because I don't remember too much '90s rock. I mean, I remember that period of time where there was definitely that blur between hip hop and.
Not hip hop.
He talking about alternative.
Straight alternative music. The way
Green Day, like Green Day shit.
Hooks with the melodies and stuff, they taking that element and they putting it on an 808 trappy sound. That's why it's so universal and all this crossover.
So you talking about songs like Graduation and shit like that have
all the little all that little singy shit. All that shit is an alternative sound, and they bring it into hip hop. Okay.
I feel like when it comes to hip hop, just like everything else, it's basically evolved. And the shit that we like is comparable to a nigga wearing a FUBU jersey. Like, you know, yeah, like we, you know what I'm saying? Nigga got Fat Albert on his motherfucking shirt. I just feel like,
Babs Bunny.
Yeah, shit has changed. It's like, you know, we come from the old school. Like, we liked MJ or we liked Magic Johnson. But Magic, big stiff ass, will get D'd up now. You know what I'm saying? So it shit just evolved. You know what I mean? And unfortunately for us, I was listening to that fucking interview and Joe said something, and I was like, "Damn, niggas really got subgenres, subcategories." Yeah. When that nigga said the 40 and up, like I'm trying to see how the 40 and up crowd is doing, and I was thinking like, "Damn, that's what we've been reduced to the 40 and up club now." You feel me? Yeah.
That's the sound we
and we're, like, yeah, we're the old dudes that are looking in now. You know what I mean? When it comes to
but
to
I hip-hop. Fuck with the young music, not all of it. I just
well, let's do something different, man. Let's pub them up and let's do something positive. What do we like about the younger generation?
Okay, but that's a whole other episode. So let's get back on track to what we're talking about here. So Marcellus Wiley has a book that is coming out, I think, next week. And in the book, he's going to talk about the Drake-Kendrick beef that was real and supposedly happened and supposedly got real crazy where it almost got physical and then it was dead.
Oh, fuck. Pillow fights.
He doesn't give any details. And basically, you have to check the book out.
What about this?
The book is called... I can't remember the name of the book.
What about Kendrick on the Joe? They spoke on this with Push 2 about Kendrick poking for years at Big Sean, and Big Sean still ain't... He came back and said something on his album, on the album with Eminem done. The last album that he had, but he really ain't responded. Like, Be Humble was about Big Sean.
Right. Well, he just—I mean, he's thrown subliminals at Kendrick a couple times.
No, but like he, like Joe said, he been daring him to say his name, and right. Sean ain't.
Maybe it's Kanye who's talking him off the, you know, off the ledge. I mean, that's a hard. I think Kendrick is hard to go at, and that was the reason I wanted to bring this con.
Even Drake dodged him. Drake dodged him. Remember at the BET Awards, he spit some shit about Drake on that motherfucking. Drake ass tucked his tail once again.
Right.
Tucked his tail when Joe got on his ass and made that EP on his ass and smashed him. Like, nobody remember that, though.
Right. What do you think the beef between Kendrick and Drake was?
Drake running his mouth with all that greatest, that top 10 talk shit.
You think that's what got
That's what that's it what is. You can't contend for the crown when you got ghostwriters and not won't niggas. That's just the competition. That's just what it is with MCing, period. You can't be that top tier nigga, say I'm that nigga, and not expect it to come for you.
I was going to say, I must be the old nigga that wants y'all nigga to stay off my lawn, because half these niggas that got all the limelight these days, I haven't even heard their projects. Like, Big Sean? Like,
yeah.
Nigga, I ain't never heard a Big Sean album, nor do I have the fucking desire to listen to that bullshit.
I've heard songs, but I've never been able to get through a full... Big Sean.
You know what I'm saying?
He probably could rap.
It's just like niggas is like undesirable. Like a real ear don't want to hear that shit. I mean, I understand it. Like him and Drake from some shit that I did hear back in the day. Like they kind of sounded similar. They had like the same.
Drake bit a lot of shit from Big Sean.
That's what I'm saying. But I never liked the original. So you know what I'm saying? Like I don't know, man. I just you know I must be hip hop old head junior or some shit because. This shit is terrible, man. Like when I look at the niggas that's leading the charge when it comes to hip hop, from the east to the west, I mean from the Carolinas to California, y'all know who I'm talking about. All these niggas look slappable, and I grew up in an era where I don't know, we just had rugged MCs. These young niggas, they all look like bitches.
What it is that you had to be a real dude first before you can even be a fucking rapper. Now you can be a straight pussy that gets smacked around and ran out of shit. And go to the next state and act like you trapping and you doing all this and blooding and crimping. Now there's you don't gotta be validated for nothing. You can just wake up in the morning and turn on the internet and say I'm fucking El Chapo Jr. And that's the way the game is now. Back in the days, you had to be certified by some motherfuckers that was in that game in that field already. And now it's like you can just say whatever you want. And if you get popular enough and get enough money and enough chokers and shit on them motherfuckers. Oh, he got more money than you. You're just hating.
It's the art of illusion.
This generation love to be pussy ass niggas, and when you just give your opinion and say that you don't like something, it's all already equated as hate.
But you know what? No. Let me clean up my thought. we've always had pussy ass niggas in the industry. I just feel like they didn't have the forefront.
They didn't have the forefront.
They didn't have the forefront. Exactly. Like I never thought Q-Tip had a tough bone in his body. You know what I mean? But I loved him as an MC.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But he wasn't leading the charge.
And he wasn't acting tough. I think exactly. That's the difference.
Yeah,
he said some
shit.
I'm a fan of originality. Somebody being himself.
I caught Tip talking about some street shit here and there, and when I go back and listen now.
Right, but he was never acting tough in the videos or anything. He was talking. That's what I mean. Like, you have these cats that you know are not tough.
Nigga talking about we don't bust no tough. Guns, but we ain't turning that cheek. Like, nigga, what the fuck that mean? You come fucking with me, nigga, I'm gonna shoot your ass.
Right,
like,
but he's not, to Pooh's point, he's not on some 6ix9ine wild shit, or he's not on what these young dudes are doing. So it's not the act of playing the tough guy. You know, it's like, hey, I'm not gonna say I'm a tough guy, but I'm gonna hold my ground. Where you have a lot of these cats who have their chest out, but like you said with Big Sean, you're getting goaded and you're not saying anything. You're being silent.
To be real with you, I just listen to niggas once I hear their name popping so much, I give them a chance, and if I can't get into it, they don't get another play.
Yeah.
But once when I listen, I actually can hear that Big Sean was a real MC.
Yeah, Sean can rap.
Sean is a real MC.
And he doesn't want it with Kendrick, though.
Yeah, he don't want him. I guess he just don't want that beef. You know what I mean? But
I
want
to find out what that Drake and Kendrick beef was about. That's got to be interesting.
No, it's just the top. It's just the top spot. You know what I mean?
But Drake got cocky for a while. He was popping a lot of shit when he was winning, when he was selling all them records and doing all that shit back to back. He got the feeling himself. That's why he did Meek like that.
Right. But to go from Poetic Justice to them beefing. You know what I mean? I wonder what that was really about. Was it just competition?
Because they probably bring up Drake to Kendrick. Oh, Drake's doing this, Drake doing that. And Kendrick, like, yeah, he's cool, but he's not a fucking MC like me. I write my own shit. Matter of fact, I'm going to do some melodic shit now and make hits, number one hits, just like him. And I'm still going to do my MC shit. Now what can y'all say? This album, even though I hated them songs, me personally, that little, I
want to
be with you bullshit.
Oh, man.
I hate that shit. In my opinion, that's Kendrick's worst album. Yeah. And I hope whatever he's dropping next.
It'll be better.
He ain't done. He's not
so
done.
The worst album is the one with the King Kunta shit.
To Pimp a Butterfly?
Nah, hell no.
You crazy.
Yeah, no way.
This is the worst one. You know what? I actually went back to Good Kid, Mad City, and I just, to me,
I wasn't feeling the production on that. What is that? That's the second album. Man.
He only got three. He only got three. The third one is the worst, in my opinion.
Well, he put out that little extension to Pimp a Butterfly, which is what.
But that don't even count.
That second album had a lot of skips for me on there. I wasn't feeling all the production. If These Walls Can Talk, and it's a few of them. Like,
how much a dollar costs?
It's about seven solid tracks on there that I really fuck with, and the rest of them is kind of like,
But shit, is it seven solid tracks?
Ain't got seven on the new one. Yeah. There's no way in hell.
I can't tell you one, other than maybe Duckworth, I can't tell you one that
Man,
I go back
I
to.
Think yeah. His best verse ever is on this last one.
Which one is that?
His best verse I ever heard him spit I don't know the title of the song, but the hook, the one, Ain't Nobody Praying For Me, is it Phil?
Might be, I'm not sure.
The second verse on that, nigga, it's like the Ab-Soul, on the Book of Soul song.
On the Pimp My Butterfly, the Pimp My Butterfly album, what was that, the Black of the Berry?
Black of the Berry,
yeah.
Sweet of the Juice.
Them verses Black on there the was something else.
But it wasn't all super lyrical like that. He just went in lyrically on this shit like just nonstop. Back to back, like 40 bars real quick.
I think the production killed him in this one.
The content on this album, I like it. The first one will always be the best, but the content on this one, what he was rapping about, the way it was put together, I liked it better. I liked it better than that.
Pimp a Butterfly, my opinion, that's his best. Good Kid, Mad City.
You think it's his best?
I think it is.
I think that's the worst.
I think Good Kid, Mad City got a lot of acclaim because there was a large group of people who could identify with that. You didn't necessarily need to be from Compton to identify with that.
Just the way that record was put together.
You just needed to have lived in the inner city.
The way
that
it flowed
that
through,
range.
The way it was thought out.
It was cool, but you had a lot of skippable joints on that.
Hell no.
Come on, you had the Dr. Dre, the Women in the Weather track. What was
that
called?
Man, that was a... other than the singles, name some skips.
Okay, well, there you go. That's included. It's like four singles. The swimming pools. Swimming pools. The shit with MC8. That shit was.
You could say, nigga, I could just skip that right off top.
Off top.
Off a good kid, Mad City.
I'd have to go back and look at the track and listen, but off top, I can't think of one right now. I like the Aaron Afalo game song. That was cool. That wasn't a single. I like the one Sing About Me. That wasn't a single, right? That was dope as fuck. The little freestyle one was dope.
Money
out
Tree.
Out with the homies.
Money Trees.
Nigga,
Money Trees is borderline for me.
What?
It's cool. But the first, Money Trees is a little, I like J-Rock. J-Rock's on that one, right?
Yeah.
I like J-Rock's verse on that one.
Still not a skip, though.
No, but there are at least four skippable tracks.
You still, you can't name them.
No, I just told you. The Women in the Weather, skippable.
No, I'm talking about we're not talking about the...
Yeah, but it's still skippable.
But
so
you
got to
think, these niggas is on the biggest market that there is, so you take the singles off the table already.
But they're on the album, so it's skippable. We can't take singles off the table.
I like them songs, though. I think that we all differ. That's another
like
subject
the,
about albums and skippable.
I thought the Women, Weed, and Weather shit was the weakest song off the whole album.
Right. Well,
my
weakest
other thing
one,
was I didn't think they was
my weakest
like
one
that.
Is definitely the swimming pools. I didn't like swimming pools.
Swimming pool, it kind of grew on me.
Yeah. Yeah, those were the first. And that's why I was shocked, because I had heard so much about Kendrick, and those were the first two songs we heard. And I was like, man, I don't
that's
even
what,
know.
You know.
But
what?
You know what?
Those songs, are, they that like Kendrick is a nigga that do super lyrical shit. They was trying to get him to make marketable records. Without those two records, that album wouldn't have sold. Like,
see, I look at it differently.
Without them two records that came,
we heard those tracks without the concept of the album. Because if you listen to the album,
within the context of the album, right, exactly.
Like during that time with the swimming pools, the nigga was drunk in the car and they were trying to get him home.
Sense.
So it made sense. But listen to it without that context, it was kind of like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, exactly. Then I really didn't like. I like the beat on the Women, Weed, and Weather, but I didn't like.
So yeah, the recipe was the Women, Weed, and Weather.
Yeah.
Right? And then Swimming Pools was the second track. So the first two, I'm already skipping.
But those aren't even the first two songs.
Well, that's how I was showing the... Are those the singles? Are these
the
singles? All right. Backseat Freestyle. I didn't know that was a single. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Poetic Justice, I'm not fucking with.
Oh, that's cool.
And then Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe. That I like that one. I don't like the Jay-Z remix that they did. What else was on there?
Jay-Z remix was trash.
Yeah.
What song was the Jay-Z remix?
Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe. That shit was garbage.
They had Jay.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah. Jay always attaching himself when he's cold.
So, what was it called? Strain. That was the first
song. Strain, yep.
And then, so then it went Don't Kill My Vibe, Backstreet Freestyle. The Art of Peer Pressure. That was dope. Money Trees, which I was cool with. Poetic Justice, Skip. Good Kid. I don't remember Good Kid.
It's a Pharrell track. I don't know.
No, Good Kid is the one with MC8 on it.
Is that the one with 8 on it?
That's the one with MC8 on it. That was hard.
No.
Mad City's
the one with MC8.
Yeah.
That was whack.
That was the one Pharrell produced. Probably a skippable because you don't remember.
Next!
Sing About Me Dying.
That was hard. Sing About Me was hard.
I got a question. Maybe
Real.
I had the.
I don't remember Real.
Maybe I had the wrong album, but was that Mary J. Blige shit on the album, or was that just an extra track?
Because
I never listened to that bullshit.
That was a bonus track.
No,
okay.
That was a bonus. And then the last one was Compton. That was produced by Dre.
Yeah.
He finished strong. I remember that. Them last few songs.
It don't have no skips other than the singles.
Like,
I'm sorry.
See that album.
You say Money Trees, you didn't like that.
But it has five singles. You know what I mean? So how is that not considered skip?
An album doesn't have skips out except the singles because it's on the album.
But you know what? Those are debatable skips. Like I can't say none of it was outright garbage. That's just my opinion.
You can't say them songs are trash.
No.
You can say that you don't like it. It ain't for you. But you can't say that the songs
they're
trash.
Still skippable.
In your book.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, in my book, but I'm sure there's other books that agree that them joints are skippable. And I'm only saying that because I think Kendrick has definitely grown as an artist.
You know what?
I think that people put a little too much on Good Kid, Mad City.
You don't realize how many people jumped on Kendrick because of those records. The youngsters.
Of course.
I think they were, but they were on them before that shit. Because
the
Section 80 and all that other shit, they were anticipating them.
That fucking swimming pool shit, nigga, they love that shit.
Right, but I mean, at the end of
without
the day,
that single, would that he would have got the same response? Would he had as many people fucking with the album?
Yeah, because "Bitch Kill My Vibe" is what saved the fuck. You know what I mean? What saved the record, and that was the fourth single.
I would say
to me, that was the best song out of the singles was "Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe," and they released that shit fourth.
I would say we can't make that argument for Kendrick unless we make that argument for everybody else. We just can't. So we can't make the pro, you know, he had to release these in order for him to do well, but then we're going to down other cats that have to release these albums.
I'm not down in nowhere. They have to. It's all about how you execute. We all know that's how the industry set up.
If you
put the machine, then you know you got to deliver real records. Whether you a hood nigga, a backpack nigga, you rap for the girls, you're going to have to give them some records that's marketable if you want
to
make it.
So then that devalues the whole point of what we spent 20 minutes arguing on previously. Because if you have to do it, then Drake has to be in a position where he has to do these records.
No, but that don't mean that.
Are there rules then?
No, but that's totally different. Battling and producing marketable records for your album and battling is two different worlds.
Right. So when he gets that level of a Kendrick and a Drake.
That's why I say he should stay the fuck out of all the whole altercation rap period. Just do your shit.
So if you're a superstar level, Drake, Kendrick, you should
not
even
not
be
Drake,
engaged.
Because Kendrick is an MC still. He
but
can
he
hold
still
it.
Has to put out big records.
But Kendrick is not going to duck nobody like Drake. Kendrick don't have a fucking ghostwriter. Kendrick didn't take two or three L's already, and people overlooked them in the industry already. Yeah,
but can he sustain those losses like Drake and be successful?
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, I think
they would make excuses for Kendrick.
Hell yeah, they make. I mean, people were damn near bit Penny was album of the year. Like,
true
now,
that. Yeah.
That should
have won over the album that it went up again.
Who's had you two on a record before?
That shit was horrible.
I enjoyed it better than Rhapsody album.
But Rhapsody didn't win album. Who won? I think
she went up against him. Jay Z, her, and somebody else.
But who won the Grammy? Kendrick did, right?
No, Jay did.
They gave
for 4-4.
Yeah, they gave it to Jay over
what?
Rhapsody and Kendrick and I think what's the nigga?
I didn't think Jay won then, did he?
Yeah,
he won. They gave it to him for 4-4-4. Nigga, it was like a big shot. The industry was tripping, but the hip hop purists was like, "What the fuck? This shit just dropped."
Side note: I felt like that was a solid ass project in my own.
4-4-4.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth, I can't stand Jay-Z either, but I actually enjoyed that. If that sound like the old Jay. That sound like the old Jay. He ain't talking about Sam Tropez and all this old goofy ass bullshit that I don't want to hear. Like, he was actually rapping about some real shit, and No ID had him on some real. Production again.
I feel like
good to hear him rapping again.
I might be alone on this one, but at the time in the end of 2012 when that Good Kid dropped, that was like a breath of fresh air to me.
Hell yeah.
Because it wasn't just the tracks, it was like the whole project.
The way that it was put together.
It was put together.
They put it together like the Chronic. It was a movie it was a movie basically.
Like even "Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe" was set up by the daddy saying, "Bitch, you killing my vibe." Like
killing my vibe.
You got to hear the shit together.
The skit and,
yeah.
He got drunk and looking for the dominoes and all that old shit. We took the van. And
so they're not to cut in. So they've already done the 2018 Grammys, right? They just did them. Right?
They just dropped. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let me go back and look because
Chance
got it in 2017 for "Color and Blue."
Yeah. How does his shit sound? That's another thing I've never heard.
I can't get into it. He can rap. Yeah. He got talent, but it's not for me.
He's very talented. He's multifaceted. He can
he's
do
like
a lot
the
of
new
things.
Will Smith and shit.
Yeah, it's just listening to like real. In my opinion, it's really corny, sappy. Like you don't want to continue to go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
You know, and like to be honest with you, I got into Chance through his features. He was on Action Bronson.
He did.
Track,
hey, I like that track. He was on Mr. Wonderful?
Yeah, he was on a track with Kalani that's real dope. Yeah. Where, you know, and so he kind of has this playful rhyme pattern or whatever. You know, like he was like, "I hope you get fired on a Friday from your job at Fridays."
Yeah.
You know, on a Friday, whatever. So there's like some little ha 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 knee slappers in there. But I was like, okay, this is a young dude I can get with. When I went and listened to more of the music, it was just... like you said, it was just something that when you hear it that one time, you're like, "Yeah,
it's too smiley face for me."
I'm not gonna give this another run. But props to him, and He seemed like he a good dude. He was on the Joe Budden podcast. I turned that shit off, and I watched every episode. I skipped that episode. It was a good episode, man, because he laced up and coming artists with a lot of game and how he's doing it out there.
Man, they be acting phony sometimes, though. They come on with the gospel song and, oh, this is for you, Chance. And, right, man, right. Joe, cut it out. He be
So for 2018, weird it was Kendrick. Art. Kendrick did win for Damn. Mm.
He did?
Yep. Jay-Z was nominated. The Migos were nominated. Rhapsody was nominated. Tyler, the Creator, was nominated. And Kendrick won.
Best rap album?
Best rap album. And he took home the Pulitzer. Yeah. So he won it in 2018.
No, what was the year that Rhapsody was up against him?
That was last year.
So you got to think about it. They're always a year behind. So the Grammys 2018 is recognizing really people came in at the tail end of 2017.
I think they picked 444 over some shit because it came out at the end of the year and it was some solid shit before and they gave it to Jay-Z and everybody.
Right, there's that little weird window.
Yeah, they always behind time. Like, yeah. It really actually be for this year, but it's really for last year.
Right, there's actually a period of time where you could put your record out and it not be recognized by the Grammys because they're not considering anything, so there's like even like a
depending kind on like what
a moratorium of when you can put something out before they'll actually go ahead and
so
recognize.
So if you dropped in the fourth quarter, it'd probably be at the end of that.
Yeah, I'm not. It's like around October to something. I was reading
then,
on
they
it.
They put like you little, into next.
There's
year.
Like a little period of time where they're not even fucking with you.
You know, let me jump in real quick. This is a topic that you a question you asked me in a previous episode, and I didn't have an answer at the time. You asked me what was my favorite album of 18.
2018.
And after doing some brainstorming, and I'm going to definitely be alone on this, but for my own personal preference, my favorite album of 18 was J-Rock.
No, you're not alone. There's a lot of people who feel that's the album of the year. Yeah. Right now, people are talking about KOD or J-Rock's album. So there's a lot of people out there that feel J-Rock has. I'm fucking Ebro from where the fuck he's from? Hot 97 or 105?
Yeah. J-Rock's album 105. Was definitely dope. It's up there in the top ones for me, but I was, it's still some shit I think I like better. I like the Freddie Gibbs album, the one when he fresh out of coming from jail.
Not Freddie, but the one before Freddie.
Yeah, that's just the EP.
Yeah,
the one that Swink is on. Uh-huh. Yeah, that one, the one where he first came home from jail, and the Book of Ryan.
Yeah, Book of Ryan is dope.
Book of Ryan was a solid ass fucking.
Yeah, this was
album.
A good year overall for music.
It was great. This year has been great. People been dropping nigga J. Cole shit was dope as fuck.
J. Cole, Nip had some cold shit.
Nip had a cold album. You know who album just came and went, nigga, and the only thing that's still living is one single. YG shit was like a frisbee this time.
Yeah.
Only thing you still hear is Big Bang Take Lil Bang. Other than that, you don't hear nothing about that album.
Yeah, you know what, I was thinking, West Coast poised to have a big year. You had a lot of names that were, you know, hoping going to deliver. And YG's that one that it just didn't do nothing.
Action had a solid-ass album for 2018, too.
It was slept on, too.
Yeah, that Blue Chip 7000 was hard as fuck.
It was slept on, too. He's free agent now, so we'll see what kind of more music he brings to the table.
He got another single that just dropped. I seen it today.
Yeah.
It seemed like he on some shit right now.
It's going to be interesting to see how this year wraps up. And it's going to be interesting to see what comes of these interviews that led to the discussion of possible more beef.
I listen to a lot of underground niggas, so the shit I'll be saying, y'all be like, what the fuck is that? I fuck with the Griselda niggas heavy. They didn't drop three, four projects.
Yeah, they're busy. My thing is, why aren't they bigger than for the work that they're doing, why aren't they getting those next looks?
I don't think that they really... They're not marketable in the industry. They kind of like, they like Wu-Tang or some shit. So that's where, like, imagine if a group came out like that on the East Coast right now. Where is there to market them niggas right now with the climate of everything going on right now? They super backpack, super hood. Shit, the production is way left field. Mm-hmm. Ain't no 808s. It's mostly all loops and soul samples and shit from overseas, Turkish soul music chopped up, you know what I mean? So, right.
I just don't think they tour enough, and I don't know what the baby legal situations are keeping them from.
That's where they get their money, man. They sell out merch like crazy. They
right, merch, money. Merch. But I'm just saying, I physically do not see them enough around. I'm here, I'm there. Where you see a lot of other people, I'm constantly at this observatory.
They slowed down since they've been with Shady. Before, they was everywhere overseas. That's how they got their buzz going. They big overseas too.
Okay,
and really, they got more of a. They got a cult fan base over here in the States and overseas. So they big within like the underground niggas that want to hear that sound, but to the mainstream.
So let me ask you this. So do you think that the Shady cosign is really worth nothing? Because who is Shady cosigned?
I think it helped them more financially than anything. Because I've been watching them before they had the deal to now, the quality of their projects, the videos, the visuals, everything's enhanced. Like now they got the machine behind them. It's like you can tell they're comfortable now.
I feel like, and I don't really know much about them. I feel like the name Shady don't hold the weight it used to.
Right.
And I think this is the reason why. When it was Shady Aftermath, that's when it was weight behind that shit. But now that it's just basically it's Eminem, that shit ain't holding no weight.
No. I think no.
That holding weight like that, like he used to, then what makes you think that?
Well, it's not holding weight,
his name ain't a household name like it was before.
But still, so, it's still.
So how can he co-sign somebody when he's not even validated like he was before?
Nah, I think, honestly, I think that it's a blend of M, because these artists got to be accountable too, because M has a certain ear, and that show you his loyalty to hip hop as far as the artists that he signed. Is lyrically, these cats are nice, but none of them are gonna cross over. You know what I mean? And that's where M and the artists themselves are fucking themselves, because they can't cross over and get to the masses. I mean, they can do what they do and, you know, do the observatory, but they're not going to sell out stadiums. You know what I mean? So they haven't figured out the formula. No, he charted, but he's not on no Curtis Jackson charting. You know what I mean? Like,
but that shit is over, that Curtis Jackson type shit.
But I know, because they're not attacking it like that. You know what I mean? 50 knew. 50 was on that gangster shit and all that, but he flipped the shit up to go ahead and cross over.
They never going to be that appealing.
Well, then M is at fault, and so are the artists.
No, it's not really at fault, because they know what they were already.
Somebody got to be accountable for the shit.
Who says that they trying to be fucking super time, big time stars? If they getting the money, and they living right, and they getting they shit overseas, they can go around the world and be recognized and have murals in other countries of their faces. Who gives a fuck about fucking Billboard charts and all that?
Right. Why sign to Eminem though? If you're not trying to be,
yeah, you know what I mean.
The superstar
on the simple shit, yeah.
Everything before they signed with him.
He probably gave him a lavish ass deal. They probably own their publishing and shit like that. So then, the business was right. That's why,
right?
Because they was eating without a deal.
My thing with him is I just don't think his power, his fan base is transferable to anybody.
True that.
Singular to him, people who identify with. Majority of people.
I'll tell you right now who M can blow the fuck up, and they wouldn't be on a Kendrick and Drake level, but they can get up there with them. If M fuck with Tyler on that weirdo shit, Tyler can cross that shit over with M. I know he would have more success than any of the artists that M has ever had, other than 50.
I hate that word crossover, because in the old days, talent made you a star regardless. The masses came to you.
Right. No, I agree with you. I mean, I don't agree with your point, though, Sonic, because I don't think, again, Tyler... I don't think
Tyler can help Tyler blow up.
You know, I'll be more...
He's already
direct.
There.
I think the people who identify with M and made M a star are the white kids from the suburbs.
Yeah, and Tyler is accepted in the suburbs out of anywhere.
Tyler's already made it. He's been nominated for Grammys.
I'm just saying that as far as prominence.
How could you blow up somebody beyond that when they already being nominated for Out Rap?
You know what? I got the answer to this Eminem shit straight up.
Go ahead,
when y'all say Eminem had the white kids from the server, right?
Right.
All, his whole fan base is 30 plus now. 30 plus is not relevant anymore. So it's a new wave of fans that came across. So that's why Eminem's not relevant. Just like we still like 50.
Well, he's still relevant, but he's not M that we knew. Yeah, see,
he's not the superstar.
Exactly, because our age demographic doesn't make superstars anymore. Our opinion doesn't matter. So it's like it's like this. Like when you think like we were younger, when y'all talking about this K-Rock shit, they had all this alternative rock and all this alternative hip hop.
Right.
And then nowadays you got like what's the little nigga that got killed in Florida that y'all like?
Triple X.
He was an alternative, free-spirited, free thinker. It reminded me of them white boys from the 90s.
I
feel what you said, but what I'm saying is this: the outcast-minded young rebellious teens have accepted hip hop now, or this new blend of hip hop.
Yeah.
So that's now the rebellious music is being having like a black face is accepted now in suburbs. So that's what they gravitate to. And unfortunately, that for us, that's what makes superstars now. Like them teeny bopper motherfuckers who are weird to us are what's accepted now. We just on the outside looking in.
Right, we're the guys on the outside.
Well, it's the same thing. Hip-hop just evolving to another level. We just don't know how to accept it. Just like it conquered different genres of music when we was coming up. It's doing the same, and it's going to continue. In order for hip-hop to keep going, it got to conquer other shit.
This is breaking news, so y'all know this fucking episode. I just think Drake need to get socked the fuck up like Chris Paul did by Rajon Rondo.
Rondo.
Rondo threw that hook. And Bron snatched up Chris Paul. Like, don't hurt the homie. Don't hurt the homie. So let's wrap this up real quick. So, real quickly, do you think we're going to see anything come from this Pusha T Drake shit? We didn't talk about Push playing the phone calls, Drake putting 100 racks out for information leading, to anything that might make Push look bad, which is wild and crazy to me. We didn't talk about Jay Prince coming back and saying that Push is an ant, basically. This is very WWE to me on both sides, because nothing we didn't talk about.
I don't like that. I don't like Jay Prince stepping in this fucking industry bullshit.
It's an investment. He got
his face buried in Pilar Sanders' ass.
Who? Damn, that's Deion's ex.
Wow.
Go take a look at that nigga. He's all in family photos and all kinds of shit. He used to be the gangster that you don't see.
Now he's
a whole different kind of man.
He's all in the videos.
Yeah.
I like Jay when he was the untouchable, invisible king of the South. When he was just like, hey, nigga, don't fuck with rap a lot. Niggas know better. Nigga.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
too much money out there now in this new internet age.
Go check that fucking book out. That shit is just as good as Prodigy book. Mm. That shit's a classic. Nigga, I got stuck on that motherfucker. Jay Prince book. That's the one to have in the collection right there.
So, Jay Prince getting involved, Drake putting 100 racks for Push's information on Push. But one thing that stood out to me about both these interviews, the amount of the other side of the fence that was being played on both parts.
You didn't
40s, oh, 40 man. Obviously playing both sides of the fence. And then you got Kanye both playing both sides of the fence as well. It came off to me, like I said, really staged, real WWF, even though I believe what Push is saying is factual.
Drake just got too cocky. Drake even tried to go at it with Jay for a minute. Tried to trade jabs with Jay. He just was feeling himself, and nigga, karma came back around and bit him on the ass when he least expected.
To be honest with you, all this shit seemed fake. Like, I'm going to tell you the day that hip-hop took a real L to me, was the day that niggas celebrated that Drake was on stage with Meek. Like, for real, like, y'all niggas turned into some fanboys.
That shit was all over the fucking internet.
They
have niggas in the streets going to war or something. Like, okay, nigga,
that shit was weak, my nigga. That shit was weak. That was like corny. That's like when Snoop Dogg and Puffy met up on Steve Harvey's show and they was about to fight in the school and all that old stage WWE shit. Nobody want to see that shit, man. This shit seemed weak, man. Like, look, to be real with you, we all know Push got his own little core fan base.
Right.
But when Drake was beefing with Push, I was on social media seeing it, and motherfucker was like, who the fuck is Pusha T? This nigga still got braids. Like,
right.
To the masses, he was fucking irrelevant.
Yeah, he was.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Because, nigga, they count niggas' pockets and fucking billboard numbers and who they see, what they can see.
And like, he beefed with one of his idols. Like, how cutthroat are you going to really be with a nigga that you idolize?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You bought a fake Pusha T microphone.
Look, if you beefing with a nigga that you idolize, you supposed to cut his head off. There ain't no, I would go halfway. Drake supposed to kill him.
Drake quoted it in his rhymes. Nigga talking about when, nigga, you get better than your idols and they become rivals and all kind of shit. He, Drake is like Jay-Z. He known for cutting at niggas and throwing little darts subliminally without fucking saying their name. He good at that shit. He do that same Jay-Z shit. How Jay would talk about you without saying your name, give you 4, 5, 6 bars and jump on to some other shit. He been throwing them little darts at niggas and that cocky, I'm the best, I'm the greatest ever shit for a while. And niggas just start to respond. And this is just what come from.
Came back to haunt him and now we're here doing interviews.
And look
that interview's about to be.
He ducked the battle. He didn't duck out of that one. He ducked out of the Joe shit. Took that L. That's 2 L's in a row. Nigga. If you're not gonna fucking respond, then why the fuck you saying anything?
Right,
man, I feel like I know we gotta wrap this shit up, but I feel like it's WWE, cause I feel like even though he's talking shit about Kanye, if Drake does have information on Pusha and all that other shit, Drake has the power to eliminate Pusha T. Even though we all know he's a real MC, and I don't think he want to put his fucking idol's career, and he can do it.
So then, he don't want that static.
I think
in
business.
Streets.
I think it's business.
No, it ain't even that. I don't think he don't want that. He don't want to be looking over his shoulder.
Man, ain't no static in the streets because even the niggas who co-signed Pusha T was saying that the nigga ain't never done any shit he say.
Oh shit.
So it ain't no static.
What do you mean?
I mean, you said
real statement of the show.
Niggas said them niggas were from the suburbs, so we can't say he got.
Damn, so he's a Drake himself and shit. Oh, and the plot thickens and shit.
What them niggas is? They didn't grow up in Virginia and Norfolk and all that shit in the hood. They grew up on the other side. they two niggas. They even said it.
Timmy, supper's ready.
They followed after their big older cousin that was older than Malice, because Push is the youngest, and them niggas was hustling. They used to come around. And then it was niggas that didn't want for nothing. They just went and did it because they was just badass kids. They daddy like a preacher, but obviously they did what they did. Nigga, look at their crew.
So in other words, they didn't grow up in Whittier. They grew up in Midway City.
Basically. How is it not true what they were doing? But nigga, look at the cases that broke their whole crew up. They manager doing like 100 and fucking something a year. Nigga, they had a pipeline to fucking Nicaragua bringing coke all the way down to Virginia. Like, it was a whole hundreds of people got indicted, like with the BMF shit. So, it's not, they can't say, oh, he wasn't in the street shit. Yeah, he was in it. He may not be from the
ghetto. Drake is bigger than the streets. Because when it all boils down to, it's about money.
Yeah, I don't think Drake's in danger of getting touched.
You can't say that. If that nigga crossed the line and do some shit or say some shit out of pocket, that niggas won't take it upon themselves. They see Drake somewhere and niggas catch him somewhere in some club. Look at what happened with Chris Brown and him throwing bottles and shit. Anybody can be touched.
Yeah, but it ain't even on that level.
Yeah, though.
That's what I'm saying. Mean, yeah,
but it can. We've seen it go there all day.
Yeah, I don't.
But not with these guys. Yeah,
it's done. Push as a CEO. I think he's sitting back with a lot of information, waiting to say some real foul shit.
I think
because he knows it'll fuck with Drake's head.
The backbreaking shit that he got to say ain't gonna be about Pusha. He would already put it. It's gonna be about Kanye.
What did Snoop say that Kiki was Kim Kardashian? Right?
Yeah. What can you say? Oh, he didn't sell dope. He grew up in Virginia Beach, and this and that. He snitched on somebody. That would have been came out already.
Right.
So what can he really say about Pusha?
Right, I agree with you. I think he has the dirt on Kanye and everything that he's done.
Got some homo shit on Kanye or something on the law. Scoopy poop, nigga, whenever stuck that finger in his booty, nigga.
I just feel like, you know, that battle was like a mismatch. Even though it's just like Joe and Drake. And it's, Drake, just, yeah. It's just Pusha got his core fan base, but Drake is a star. Pusha T is an MC.
Why do people talk like Pusha's a bum and that man is a multi-millionaire?
He's not a bum, but we talk about popularity. It's
I
like,
know, but people,
it's
the
different.
Way that people talk about him, like how you were saying, people talk like when the battle was going on, just because he was getting that Drake ass, ooh, this nigga, I've never...
Because he's old.
Name a song. Do this,
he's
do that.
Old.
He's
old.
He doesn't live his
every
life on social media.
Every excuse in the book other than rapping. Right. They made every excuse in the book other than fucking rap.
They don't judge shit the
I mean,
way
they
we
don't
do.
Look at, they don't look it's at different. What he's doing outside of the music. They know that, hey, he hasn't released an album in a while, so he just dropped. And, yeah, he's got the brains, and he's old, but he's doing a lot of things behind the scenes that, you know, the younger folks aren't going to look at, again, because it just boils back down to popularity.
Star versus the MC.
Right. Popularity has changed our perception on rap beef and the way it works, and it's been that way for a while, you know what I mean? So we automatically attach who the popular with or who the popular one is with maybe who has, you know, the hotter record. And we can go back to the Eminem shit with MJ, wasn't MJ
Machine Gun Kelly.
Machine Gun Kelly probably had the better song.
He did.
But M was the better, was the bigger artist, so people were like, oh, you out of here. M's doing this. M just said 7 syllables in 2.5 seconds.
M out-rapped him.
Right.
He out-rapped him, but MGK made a better record.
Right. And M being more popular, the narrative is M squashed him. Well, M really took a L, in my opinion.
He overdid it. He should have just kept it straight to the point and went straight for the throat. He overdid it, trying to stretch it out and explain too much. Just take his fucking head off.
See, back in the day, man, you know, I hate to keep going backwards. It was just, it didn't matter. MCs were just MCs. Now it's like niggas want to see Drake beef with Kendrick because they both on the same level,
same
so to speak.
Star level.
Or you want to hear Kendrick against Big Sean because Big Sean is
the
major
biggest star.
Or
people wanna,
Drake
the
and Kanye.
Stars against
or,
each other. Yeah.
Nobody, like, no matter, you can't win against the machine. Like, that's where this shit is. Mm. It's some shit that we can't, our argument ain't ever going to win, so to speak, because the machine chooses to beef with it.
Right, and you know, you can take that back to 50 and Kanye. That was one of the, that was a machine beef.
Yeah.
And you know, Kanye won that one.
They hyped Kanye up with that one. That was a part of his real fame came from that time.
That was
right
part
there.
Of his because, ascension to the
yeah.
spot.
Yeah, because they wanted the underdog to win. Right. The masses wanted the underdog to win.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know what
and
mean?
They,
so
was tired, they was tired of the super, they was tired of the real street nigga being a real rapper at that time. You had to be both. Now these niggas is just one or not even either one. You know what I mean? Like,
pick one. Right?
Back in the days, niggas talking about street shit on records. Nigga, they really was going to the club, shooting it out, and shit was happening in the early 2000s. These rappers, you don't see shit happening.
Well, I mean, what's the dude? There's been a couple people who just got shot in New Orleans or whatnot, but it's the lower...
Yeah,
guys.
I'm talking about the big time rappers.
There's just too much money now, and the game is different. I mean, again, it's more watered down. The concentration of the real street dudes are no longer in those power positions in the industries. It's a completely different thing. It's a corporate environment where you could have cats.
That's why they're not
selling
like
Tekashi and Triple Red or whatever on the same label. Trippy Red, yeah. So Tekashi and Trippy Red, they're on the same label, but they're acting as if they don't like each other and they're beefing just to go ahead and continue to, you know, push their, you know, Instagrams or the videos that they're dropping. So, you know, to go back, it's
all
WWE, like you said, it's all marketing. So,
WWE.
Any final thoughts before we get the fuck out of here tonight? So we're going to come back with this, what are we going to do, top 5 albums, or our 5 albums that have no skips on them?
Oh, I got one, yeah, we're going to come back to that. I got something for you. We need to speak on this another show.
Right.
Why is Buckshot and KRS-One left out of the list of top MCs when it comes to New York hip-hop?
Well, I mean... I don't know about KRS being left out.
No, they don't put neither one of them niggas on none of the lists. When you seen KRS-One name on any of the lists where they got top MCs, top 10s, anything, but nigga, even in spitters, niggas overlooked Buckshot, and Buckshot had a run where he held down New York from like 91, 93, like what me and Pooh was talking about.
Right.
until Snoop came.
Impact was a quick one, and it wasn't really, there wasn't a lot of longevity with his overall impact.
But I mean, niggas like DMX didn't have that long a run on top.
What?
When he was X, he had about three years, three and a half, and that was
run to Black Moon or
no, but you talking about the amount of time niggas nigga came and had a hot streak for three and a half years, it's the same shit.
So first it was impact, then it was length of time. So there, in no hip hop universe is the impact of DMX. I like Boot Camp, I like Buckshot, but the impact that DMX had on the game, Buckshot and Black Moon have never had that impact for that amount of time, or even as hard as DMX came out.
I don't think so. I disagree.
Well, we'll definitely
impact on that. Impact and having the crown. Like Ice Cube had the crown out here for a while in the mid '90s. That's what I'm saying. Buckshot had that in the East Coast.
Cube also had the impact. So it was, he had the crown.
No, but he don't get mentioned in nothing.
Buckshot.
You ain't seen Buckshot mentioning nothing when it comes. When niggas roll off East Coast MCs, you gonna hear Biggie, Pun, fucking Rakim, Big L, and somebody else. You know what I mean? But you not gonna hear that.
All doper than Buckshot, in my opinion.
No, but I'm saying, like, even if you keep going.
So where do we go? Where is Buckshot on your New York? And I know how Buckshot, you when I do this, but
Buckshot should be right up there with fucking Redmans and shit like that.
I disagree. I think Redman is a better MC than Buckshot.
Yeah, bar for bar, but that nigga Buckshot opened a hole for Red. If it wasn't no Buckshot, Redman wouldn't even have the platform that he had, because he opened the gate for that type of rap. That street rap right there with the samples and all that shit, Buckshot did it before them niggas. All them niggas.
I gotta fact check that one. I mean, maybe, I don't know when Black Moon's first EP came out. I don't know if that came out before Red's first stuff, but I would definitely put Red in front of Buck. And no disrespect, I think Buck is dope. I don't think he's top 20 New York MC. Top 25?
What?
I mean,
there's a lot of cats from... So do you put Buckshot before Kool G Rap?
Fuck no, Kool G Rap is the all-time greatest to me.
You know what? I gotta really think of 20, but even as much as I like Buckshot...
I like Buck.
I don't know.
I do.
Classics, nigga.
No, as far as MCs from New York,
there's just too many.
It's too many.
Yeah, it's too many. But nigga, I'm just saying, how does he not get mentioned in no
too many.
No kind of list? Like, he's a nigga that get overlooked completely. And nigga, they had a whole fucking run. Not just him, the whole clique. They still around to this day.
Right. I mean, I think
it's just somebody that just gets straight skipped over.
Type of music he makes, he's very low key. He's worked on some great projects, but you just don't see him enough telling you about it.
Like Pharoah Munch, he gets skipped straight the fuck over.
Right, that's somebody straight up.
He's great. Skipped straight the fuck over.
You know what?
Busta Rhymes is one of the greatest New York rappers, period. He gets skipped straight the fuck over. Nobody put him on no list.
Do you put him
on? Redman gets stripped straight the fuck over. Nobody put him on. That's why I say it's a lot of MCs, the nigga that. That little list, that little top five, top ten type shit, they don't get mentioned at all.
It's a popularity contest, because look, as dope as Pun is, that nigga don't belong on none of them lists. He don't got a big enough body of work, and that's another topic for another day.
Right, that is too, because then we have to, like, when we do these all time lists, you really have to set, you know, there has to be certain benchmarks for each person. Like, okay, so is it going to be two albums, three albums? You know, what's the benchmark? You know, and so that's a hard one.
Well.
And I think, you know, with Buckshot, I think, again, I just don't think him solo-wise, I think there just has to be more of a body of work solo-wise when you want to put him in a top list. Is he someone that deserves to get talked about contribution-wise and how dope he is? Yes, he does. But
I'm just saying,
20,
I'm not saying that you have to put him above like other legends in New York. What I'm saying is, for a nigga to lock down, to have a whole era, a little era where he was that nigga for the spokesperson for hip-hop in New York.
I don't think he was ever there.
That nigga at that time, nigga, that nigga Buckshot was that nigga. Like 92, 93 on the East Coast, nigga, who was popping more than Buck?
I gotta fact check that one. I mean, off the top of my head, 92, 93, who was popping more than Buck?
We all hip hop heads, nigga. Y'all name somebody. Name somebody between 91 and 93 in the East Coast that had a record deal, mainstream rapper that everybody we knew in the West Coast. Name somebody that was more popping more than him.
93, I mean.
91,
93. See, I think what happened to Buckshot, and I liked him too. He never hit commercial stardom, so it kind of left him in behind. And he just happened to have his run.
Wu-Tang and shit and all that came, and that just everything. See, curved.
This is what happened with niggas like him. He was a part of the New York era when they got swallowed by Death Row, so they got left behind. The whole sound of hip hop changed, and them niggas got left like underground, and they embraced being underground. Right. You know what I mean? He never reached the forefront. Like, he was never a Def Jam nigga. All of them niggas, Eric Sermon, Redman, all them niggas were bigger stars.
Wasn't he Loud RCA, right?
He
whole camp that was original Loud RCA, most and all them, they were very under the radar, and it wasn't until RCA fell out, and then what, most went to Def.
Matter of fact, they was popping out before Mobb Deep then.
Mobb Deep went to Jive, or was it Jive? Or where was Steve Stout at?
Loud.
After Loud, though, because remember, Loud fell apart, and everybody else had to go somewhere else. Because Loud was Steve Rifkin. And after I think they went to Jive when they did the Britney Spears shit.
That was 04.
Maybe they were on Columbia.
Yeah, they went later on to Jive.
RCA.
They went to Jive right before the 50 deal.
Right. So yeah. when Loud fell apart, everybody had to go elsewhere, and then the majority of those people's careers elevated when they went elsewhere because they had the bigger staff. So, I mean, between 91 and 93, we're talking like, man, that's like Naughty by Nature. That's like, what else is 91, 93? That's, man.
It was
Main Source was out around 91, 93.
That was when Redman was at his
Tribe Called Quest.
I'm
talking about solo
gang star.
Street like the type of rap.
But he wasn't solo though.
Public Enemy.
I mean, it's. I don't know.
He was that nigga in everything. Buckshot had the main verse on all the shit when it comes to Smith and Wesson and all them niggas when they did the features with the whole crews and all that shit. Nigga, Buckshot was the main nigga, like how motherfucking, the main nigga, like how 50 is to G-Unit. Buckshot was the face of Boot Camp.
I understand that, but that's the thing. Boot Camp was never bigger than the Death Squad. So they was like more of an underground. And I liked it. They embraced.
What I'm saying is, at that time, the industry, the commercial type crossover shit didn't exist, so we can take that shit out the whole equation.
Right, but around that time, it was group hip hop. So you had, like Simon was saying, you had Public Enemy, you had Gangstar, you had De La, N.O.G. and the Bulldogs. I gotta have it. So there was a lot.
No, I'm saying for that lane of hip hop, that sound. A solo MC. Name a nigga that was more popping than the fucking Buckshot. Nigga.
At that time, on that coast, before he moved around, Tupac.
Nah, man, Tupac was trash until he. Me Against the World.
Shit!
He had a couple songs on that first album that Tupac listened.
But see, that's the thing.
I don't count that shit.
But did Buckshot have a solo album?
Yeah, he got like five.
I'm talking about back then, that era you talking about.
I don't know.
He was in the group, so I'm saying you can't compare him to individuals when he was in the group.
91, The Voice of New York was Tim Dog with Fuck Compton. 92. Hey, we just saying wild shit out here. Hey, nigga, you know.
Okay.
I'm fucking with you.
That's the same era as like Dodge Effects and them niggas. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying.
But he wasn't like I liked him, but he wasn't like the man in New York.
Not in my opinion.
Because I'll go back to a nigga you just said who was bigger than him at that time. That nigga KRS-One was bigger than Buckshot.
At that time, KRS-One come from a whole different generation.
But KRS-One is like 87 to like 91. That's only a few years apart. It's the same time frame.
Nah, Buckshot don't come from the same generation as KRS-One.
I'm talking about 91? You said 91. 92.
No, but and the KRS-One been out for a long, way, way before. That nigga was doing shit in the early 80s and shit.
I'm talking about he didn't ascend into like 87, 88.
That's what I'm saying, but he...
Yeah, Redman dropped in 92. I'm still looking for a Black Moon release or anything from the Boot Camp Click. I want to say they dropped in 93.
If you talk 93, then it don't even compare because that's when the Wu dropped.
I want to say that drop, man. That drop in 93.
What was the biggest Boot Camp song? I Got You Open.
I Got You Open. Yeah.
What year did that come out?
I'm trying to figure that out right now.
I think like 92 or something.
It was already over because once, even though DM hate that shit, when Deep Cover dropped, it was over. It was over. Yeah, once that skinny nigga from Long Beach popped on the scene, it was over for everybody.
West Coast took, yeah, that's when the West Coast sensation just took off.
It took off.
G-Funk came in and all that shit got, all that 90s got sampling pushed. Shit got
once the Bomb Squad left New York and went to the West Coast, started fucking with Cube, that is what really changed West Coast music going forward. Dre and everybody else can say G-Funk this, G-Funk that. The shit is what they were doing on Public Enemy's albums early on. Man. They just refined it and made it better. Go back and listen.
Nah, that shit, I like some of them beats, but that shit sound like West Coast Public Enemy to me. A lot of them early Cube beats.
Because it was a Bomb Squad working on it.
Yeah, but that shit didn't have the same feel. That shit was too up tempo. It was too fast.
Right.
It was funky.
They tweaked it and they changed it, but one thing that kills me is that a lot of times in hip hop we act as if that sound never existed until Dre, Daz,
no, but
whoever,
I'm just saying the funk
cooked
just,
it up.
The funk sounded better, slower at a slow pace.
Oh, it did.
Than it did. At
it
the
did.
Fact.
They tweaked it. But what I'm saying is we got to give credit where credit's
due. Oh yeah, the Bomb Squad
existed before
the production. Yeah,
Dre just didn't come out from before you turn off the lights. It was like, hey, I got this new shit I'm doing, and this is what it is.
He put his own twist on it.
He definitely.
Everybody.
I'm gonna tell you who.
And then Dre didn't start it, nigga. Like fucking the niggas, fucking above the law, niggas.
Above the law, yeah.
Come on now, they was a little ahead of Dre.
I'm gonna tell you who had the most commercial success with that crossover, Roger and Zap, that funk sound, and we brought him up a little bit. At that time, it was late '80s, early '90s. Was that nigga Eric Sermon, EPMD.
Yeah.
That was the sound.
You know what? That's why they blew up so much in the West Coast, because they used funk
I'm
samples
your customer,
real
all that
slow
shit.
On some hip-hop beats, nigga. And a lot of niggas thought that, nigga, they was from the West Coast until they heard them say East Coast shit.
Right, right.
It was because of the sample.
When did Rodney O and Joe Cooley drop? Because that's
92, 93.
No, it was earlier than that.
No, they dropped their second album around that time.
Right.
They came out in the late 80s.
They came out later. It was early.
Like so they were doing that shit before Dre as well.
88, 89.
Yeah. So Black Moon, End of the Stage dropped in 1993. So, Pooh, you said it was already done.
It was already
wrapped by that.
That's
so,
why.
Yeah.
That tells you why right there.
Well, yeah, so that's why he's not.
Who came
list.
In? Snoop Dogg came in.
And
Nas, all that other shit came Nas, in, and they got overlooked.
But you know what? I'll name a nigga at that time who was big, who I like personally, but he wasn't from New York, but he was considered East Coast. And niggas from here may have thought he was New York. That's when Gangstar was popping.
Right.
And Black Moon.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
There was, De La. There was just so
but
much
But it was
out
different. They was more like that underground, grimy sound.
Is it? And that's why he wasn't the face of New York, because
right.
he was more underground.
Right.
And like
but that was the sound for a couple years,
but
before shit got commercialized.
They embraced being underground.
And all that other. Nigga, that's how they started out. Nigga, in basements and cellar dwellers. And nigga, the Hit Squad, the Death Squad. Nigga, they in old abandoned buildings. It was that eerie, creepy ass sound, like that grimy shit, all that shit. And even Naughty by Nature, they made happy songs sometimes, but them niggas running around in boots with bats and all kind of shit. Mobb Deep with the overalls and boots and all this shit. So that was what it was in the East Coast back then.
I know we spoke on this before, and I know we're supposed to be wrapping it up. We'll do that here, but let me just go back and just give you some of the albums released in '93. King T, Brand Nubian and God We Trust, Digable Planets, Tupac Strictly for My Niggas, Naughty by Nature, Ghetto Boys, Ice-T Home Invasion, probably one of the worst. Wait, 14 Shots to the Dome was, what was on that? The Pink Cookies in a Plastic Bag wasn't on that. That wasn't that one, that LL record.
But LL was still relevant in 93, though. I don't know what was on there.
Yeah, 14 Shots to the Dome, yeah. Onyx, Back the Fuck Up, Beatin' Us, Mob with Juvenile Hell. Shit, one of my favorite songs to this day, Down with the King, that whole album that
DMC right.
Yeah, I used to love that. Down with the King.
That shit was hard. It's still hard to this day.
Master Ace, Funk Dubious, we talked about them a while back.
Mm-hmm. What was that, Born and Roll and Master Ace?
The Master Ace is Slaughterhouse. Had Born to Roll on there. Oh, and, okay.
Ain't Master Ace from, like...
Brooklyn.
Yeah. Funk Dubious, The Cool. Guru had already dropped the first Jazzmatazz. That's crazy.
Yeah, so that tell you how far back he go.
Yeah, he started. He had to start in the '80s.
Big Daddy Kane, Looks Like a Job for Kane. Mac Dre. That was the one where he was with the gator on the front of the. No. That's not it.
That's somebody that I kind of missed.
He dropped the best of Mac Dre in fucking '93. God damn.
You know what's crazy? You didn't have to cut off your list, but listening, and there's a lot of shit on there. That shit sound a little watered down.
The list?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're still going through. So, we got Mac Mall, Illegal Business. That was one with the alligator on the front.
Yeah.
Hey,
young players got to get it together. Young players got to get it together.
Speaking of which, is Get In When You Fit In on that list, or is that 94?
94.
No, that's
94.
That's 94. Cypress Hill, Black Sunday. Scarface, The World Is Yours, Alcoholics, one of my favorite albums. Might not have any skips, 21 and Over.
21 and Over, though.
That's one that might not have no skips.
What about Bizarre Ride? Is that 93 or 92?
I think it's 92. Talking about the Far Side?
Yeah. You know what? No, Get In Where You Fit In is
93. Yeah.
Midnight Marauders, 93. End of the third... Enter the 36 Chambers.
That, nigga, that's the reason why he got overlooked. Nigga, you hear all this shit?
Doggy Style. Ice Cube, Lethal Injection.
Damn, I was in the sixth grade. That was
freshman year. Yeah. I remember that year.
When
I listened to that.
Shaq with Shaq Diesel.
Hey, Shaq went flat. That was a motherfucking album right there for that. We had the big sledgehammer on the front of that motherfucker. Hey,
when you listen to that, when you look at that list, there's some classics on there. Don't get me wrong. But I can see why the West Coast took over. Because that shit was a little watered down.
Well, I mean, so if we just focus on the West in 93, let's just be honest. Let's focus on the West in 93. I don't recall all of the Trifling album from King T.
No.
We're not going to include Pac. We'll talk about, The Coop. Kill My Landlord was a good album, not a classic. Cypress Hill, Black Sunday, we can agree is a classic album.
I know Hieroglyphics had an album in 93, so it's a mission.
Alcoholics, to me, that's a classic album. Be Legit, never heard Trying to Get a Buck.
I heard Dan put me on that shit.
So it's a mission, 93.
Brought us back.
Fucking with the motherfucking Savvy.
Yeah. Spice One, 187. Digital Underground, The Body Hat Syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Rapid Forte had to drop that.
Was it anything Death Row in 93?
Eazy-E.
Snoop or The Chronic?
97. No. Yeah, Snoop dropped.
Doggy Style?
Fit in. Doggy Style.
Well, Doggy Style took hip hop over. It was over.
Yeah, it was a rap.
Yeah. So that was 93. 93 had some definite dope albums in there. I agree with you. West Coast came a little harder. Group albums, though, I think. With the Woolwood Tribe, kind of put them over, but there was a lot of frisbees, or there was a lot of artists who dropped that, you know, just didn't stick in 93. You know, we go back and read some of those names and shit.
Didn't drop nothing back then.
They did Balloon Mind State, which is one of my least favorite De La albums.
At that time, like
De La disappointed.
You had points in hip hop, like. When Snoop dropped, it was epic. When Wu-Tang dropped, it was epic. When DMX came, it was epic. When 50 Cent came, it was epic. Like, when them moments happen, it ain't even a nigga crossing over. They movement, they
yeah, you just make it happen.
It just happens.
It just happens. You can't cross over. You can't get out the way of it. It just happens. You know what I mean? And so those are always the great moments in hip-hop, when something just happens. So, what's happening now is the end of this motherfucking show. Thank you for hanging out with us. It's been a long one. Again, make sure you're rocking with us, whether it's Audio Boom, whether it is Spotify, whether it is iTunes. We're all over. Anywhere you can find podcasts, we're there. Just type in an honest conversation about hip-hop. Again, I'm your host, Steve Moraney. As always, I have King OG with me, Sean Capone, Bootleg and B-Sides. And until next episode, we're going to definitely give you our five skippables, our albums that have no skips, our top five with no skips on the next episode of An Honest Conversation About Hip-Hop, brought to you by the Digital Soapbox Network. Until next time, we'll holla at you. Peace.
You know who was dope in that 93 era, but he didn't have an album because he dropped in 90?